Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehr today. And now let's meet JR, an artist whose name you may not know, but whose work you may have seen, and the subject of his work you're definitely familiar with. JR is the man behind the large black and white photos, close-ups of faces plastered on walls and buildings. Last week, he plastered Times Square with portraits. He's also done projects in Hunts Point, Paris's City Hall, on buildings in China, an enormous pair of eyes peering out from a slum in Rio de Janeiro. And he's not doing it alone. JR has taken this idea and made it available to anyone with this new project, Inside Out, the People's Art Project. Anyone can upload photos of faces, and he'll send back large-scale prints. It's a project that won him a 2011 TED Prize, and now there's an HBO documentary about his work, which premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival. JR, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
You recently did a large-scale project in Times Square last week where you set up a photo booth and printed out portraits. What did that look like? Portraits of everyday people alongside, it was on the ground in Times Square, and then at night at 11:57, the faces actually took over some of those splashy corporate branding video screens. What was it like to see everyday faces take over Times Square?
You know, it was amazing to see black and white faces all over Times Square and on the screens at night. But it was also really amazing to see that in the most busiest place in the world, you would see people taking the time to paste it themselves and to confront black and white images to this whole set of advertising all around it.
So you started out as a graffiti artist, but over time you've moved towards these sort of large-scale pasted-on portraits, and you've focused recently on the human face, portraits of the human face. Why have you been drawn to that?
You know, I've always wanted to go in places that I've heard through the media. And sometime I've started in my own suburbs in Paris, and I realized that I would see the people I know from the suburbs, but they would always be blurred or they would hide themselves. It was right during the riot. So I was like, why don't I go and photograph them myself with a 28-meter lens, which would force me to do it so close from them that I have to have their authorization and even making them part of the project by playing their own character. And that's how I started doing really close-up portraits. And I like that the fact that people know that they're being photographed and that they're going to be pasted up on a building too.
You also have a piece on the edge of the Williamsburg Bridge, a giant eye on the side of a building. So if our listeners have gone across the bridge, that's JR. I see that eye, and when I'm running across the bridge, it keeps me going because I feel like I'm being watched. But what is it about the eye? I mean, is that supposed to make people feel comfortable or a little bit like they're being, under surveillance?
I guess I started really focusing on the eye when I was working, you know, on Women Are Heroes, a project that I've done in the five continents. And when I was doing it in Brazil, the architecture of the houses forces me to grew up on the image and to center into the face more and more. And then when I had to choose which part of the face to keep, I would choose the eye. And the people in the community would tell me, please keep the eye because this is the window of the soul. And that was also a way from the people down the hill in the city to look back at that favela and see people looking back at them. And so I kept working on eyes since then, and it became a signature in my work, I guess.
So every photograph I've seen of you, though, you're wearing dark sunglasses covering up your eyes. So what's that about?
You know, since 13 years that I'm doing my work, I have to do 80 or 90% of it without authorization. Not because I want to walk illegally, but because a lot of those contacts where I went to and did the project, it wouldn't have happened if I was trying to get authorization. And so just to not be fined sometime or to travel safely, also not to be recognized in the street too, I would just put those glasses and hat like I used to do when I was doing graffiti, and you have to hide behind a pseudonym. And so I just use my initials to disappear behind the project because it's the people that I'm trying to highlight there, and it wouldn't add anything to show my face and give my name behind.
So there's something illicit still to what you're doing. One of the things that you mentioned, I watched the trailer to the documentary that's coming out on HBO that premiered at Tribeca Film Festival, and something that's mentioned there is that when you're doing street art where it's not, you know, tagging, it's portraits of people, people are a little less apt to tear it down and take it down. Have you found that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting to see that. First, people are much more receptive when it's photography because it speaks to them. When I used to do graffiti, only the people doing graffiti could you know, read my writing in the street. And in this case, basically, people can interact. They can scratch it down. They can, you know, re-photograph it and share it on social media. They can basically do whatever they want. And I like that interaction. I like to see that the people feel like it's theirs. It's in the street. They can scratch it or even pee on it if they want. It's not mine anymore. It belongs to them.
So, listeners, have you seen JR's art? Have you interacted with it? We have a few minutes for your calls, 212-433-WNYC. Have you seen his work? Have you participated in it? Do you have a question about street art? And I want to ask you, JR, about the democratic interactive part of this project, Inside Out. How does it work that somebody says, I want to take a photo and I want to get it somehow pasted on the side of a building? What do they do?
So basically, people would send me their photos through the InsideOutProject.net website, and then, you know, we would receive the photos on the website. It have to be more than 5 photos. That's really important. And then we will send it back to them, you know, in a couple of days later, so that they can paste it wherever they want. And then we hope they send us back some images. And that's the way we can share it to our Instagram, for example, @JR or @InsideOutProject. This is the way really we're in touch directly with the people. So it's amazing to see, you know, how simple and how possible for everyone it is, because the people who can't afford it are being paid by the people who can afford it. So it's that help between people to people.
And the guidelines for the project read that you're to gather 5 or more people around the same statement and support your portraits. What kind of statement are you looking for when people come together to do this with you?
You know, it's an interesting question, because when I wrote the project, I was like, all right, should I decide if a statement is good or not? And actually, for me, if a project is really democratic, I shouldn't. It should be open to anyone. If you want to do a project to, you know, serve the world or the dolphin or your neighbors, you decide. And, you know, so I don't look at statement except if it becomes racist or this or that. Then, of course, we refuse the project. But we don't really have those kinds of projects coming to us. But the thousands of project that had happened in the last 2 years, there's more than 153,000 people that have participated and pasted around the world. They've done it for different reasons. In Tunisia, they wanted to replace the billboards of the dictator Ben Ali by their own photos. Where in Rockaway, New York, they wanted to highlight the fact that it's still devastated after Sandy, but people are still living there, and they wanted to show an image of the community and bring community together by pasting their image. It's really interesting to see the same, you know, piece of paper being used in different contexts in such a different way.
You told The New Yorker that the goal of your project is real interaction. Is that part of what you were after by requiring 5 or more people get together, that it's not just, you know, one person deciding, you know, to do something? It's forcing people in conversation in real life, even though they're reaching out to you over the internet?
Exactly. I mean, the really interesting thing is, think about it. You take 5 people, your family, your friends, you know, around a statement, and then you see the photos. Then we'll all, you know, be together and be like, okay, guys, what do we do with those photos? And then, okay, let's ask the neighbors for his wall. So you go and talk to your neighbors. Oh, but we need a ladder maybe. So you ask the other person in front of the street if you can use the ladder, if he can move his car. And suddenly you start putting up a little project that might take you an hour or an afternoon. And that whole interaction that some people might stop in the street and ask you what it is, and you will explain and make it explain with your own words, then this is the whole interaction that I'm trying to put out through this project. We live in a world of social media where we only exchange through social media, and I'm trying to recreate real interactions in the street through people that they can also, you know, then share online to their friends. And so this is a big part in the project. In Times Square, it was amazing to see people helping each other, pasting for hours, sometimes staying there for a week, helping us and helping others to do their photos. It was amazing to see that in the center of New York, where you would think that no one would have time for that.
It's Sergio in Parsippany, New Jersey. You've got a question for JR?
And I was first exposed to it, those pieces you did in the favelas in Rio.
Yes.
And I just want to ask, does that work still exist there? I think it's beautiful because you give access to the poor and working class, and much like Banksy, you are provoking thought among all art lovers. So I just want to encourage you to keep going. I love your work.
So thank you so much. And to answer your question, no, the walk is ephemeral, and in that hill it was right in front of the city, and the wind and the rain have taken it away slowly month after month. But there's always something that stays. We did exhibition, we did books, and the people, if you go and ask them, for them they can still see the eyes on those buildings because, you know, they live there and they still have the same message behind.
So you can see examples. You can see examples of JR's work on our website, WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show page. We've got a slideshow of some of his most famous pieces, in addition to examples from the new project and a trailer for the new documentary. But JR, I want to ask you, you've photographed people in dozens of countries around the world. Have you seen similarities or differences in how people interact when you get right up in their face to take these very intimate portraits?
Yeah, the thing I've seen in all those places is that people always look for dignity, and they always look for changing the image we have on them. And it's interesting to see that, you know, you go in the poor slum in Africa, and then you go in just a little town in Switzerland, and still you have that thing where people just need attention. They have a message to pass. Not the same one for sure, but they have that desire of dignity, and that sometimes, you know, the media or the events or a war have took out of them, and that they want to get back just by using images. And images is accessible to anyone and can be read by anyone in the street. And that's why I'm making sure that it stays the purest way and the purest form of doing it without being compromised by, you know, a sponsor or a brand behind, because it needs to be the people's expression.
And JR, have you noticed any changes in just shifts as social media has become more widespread? Or are people more used to sort of performing for a camera thanks to social media?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's amazing. For me, every day I go on my Instagram and I look up how, like, people, each time they hashtag or they put the @JR, I can see the photo of a piece they've done around the world. And I can see in real time their photos, their pastings, and, you know, some of my pastings that they found around the world. And I love that because this is a direct way. I feel like we're one community. We're in different parts of the world at the same time, but we're aiming the same.
And that hashtag is #ArtJR, you said?
It's either #JR or @JR. And @JR is my Instagram page, basically.
Okay, you can keep interacting with the artist JR. His new project is called Inside Out. Again, you can see a slideshow of his work and find out more at our website, WNYC.org. Click on The Brian Lehrer Show. The documentary Inside Out, The People's Art Project, airs Monday, May 20th at 9 p.m. on HBO. Thank you so much for joining us, JR.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Coming up, we'll remember Dr. Joyce Brothers with the editor of the New York Times obituary page. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.